giving, and we've brought back the offering, something we've not done since 2020, and for various reasons, and many of you know what that is, but we've brought that back so that we have incorporated it, because your giving is truly an act of worship. You're participating in worship as you give, and so I want to encourage you to do that and worship in that way, recognizing that God has given these great gifts and God has blessed you in such a way that you can honor Him with what He has given. Remember, it's stewardship. It's not ownership. Then we began to look at praise and how and what we sing. We search for lyrics that are established in Scripture, that what God has done. And today's, there was a new song I was told this morning by one of the praise teams, the I Am members, I Am Redeemed. It says, I've got a new name. In Christ, you are a new creation. And so we want to sing songs that remind us of that, that give glory to God. We just sang How Great Thou Art, one of the anthems of the faith. Many of us stand and are reminded of how good God is every time that song is delivered. And really sing out with a loud voice, because you recognize how good God is and what He has done and how He has delivered and how we anticipate His return. And then last week we looked at proclaiming what we say inside and outside the church, communicated through words. God has called us to speak about what He has done, to declare His goodness and to share the gospel. And then today, as we wrap up this series, we want to look at prayer and ask the question, how is prayer worship? We can best understand how prayer is worship by acknowledging what prayer is not, what prayer is, and what prayer does. What is the power of prayer as we communicate with God and come before Him? So that's going to be what we look at today as we wrap up worship, the idea of prayer. I want to invite you, if you would, to stand with me in honor and reverence for reading God's Word, if you're able. We're reading from Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 13. Many of you are familiar with it. We refer to it as the Lord's Prayer. And really, it's the model of prayer for us. The prayer of the Lord is John chapter 17, which follows this same outline. But this is a prayer that is given as the apostles ask, or the disciples of Christ ask, how to pray. And you'll find that in the same text in Luke chapter 11, where the apostles, disciples ask the Lord to teach them how to pray. And as I said, many of you are going to remember this. Many of you know it as scripture memory verses, but we're going to read it together again today to kind of set our minds as we approach prayer as worship. Matthew 6, verse 5. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen, I would add, and heard by others. Not to add to God's word. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Father, I thank you that it is your kingdom in heaven, and you are establishing or building your kingdom on earth through the church. I thank you that the glory is yours. The praise is due to you. It is your hand, it is your work revealed in us and to us. We pray, Father, that your will be done. We know, Lord, that the power for all things is found in you and you alone. Father, we thank you that you reign and you rule. We thank you that you have established the end from the beginning. We thank you that you have numbered our days. We thank you, God, that you're supreme. We thank you that you're our protector and our provider. Father, we ask that you help us to bring you honor and glory today. I ask that you use my mouth to proclaim your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Some of you who have either been a fan of or have purchased or carry or whatever the English Standard Version or the ESV, which is what I preach from, you probably noticed that I quoted the "For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen." And you didn't see that there. The reason for that is that the earlier text don't necessarily contain that, but believed to be a scribal note from 1 Chronicles 29:11. But as we pray, we can certainly honor God by closing out the recognition that it's His kingdom, it's His power, and it's His glory. And for that, we're thankful that God is in control. Sometimes we may have questions, but nonetheless, we're grateful that He is, because if not, I'm not afraid, I know good well that we would make a mess out of it all. I want to start by looking at, as we study prayer as worship, establish some things that prayer is not. Today, I was the comment was made, I saw the many blanks in the outline today. And if you'll notice, they're a little bit backwards than what we're used to doing. And that's because for me to give you a blank that says what prayer is and then not, that would kind of move away. But if you write in these things that prayer is not, and these are only a few, it may help us to shape and to think about how we pray. I want you to reflect as we walk through this on your prayer life. I said this morning at the conclusion of men's prayer, a couple of people were still standing around to hear me express, as knowing all week this is where it was coming and thinking through how to present prayer as worship and honor God in doing that, I've been burdened that we need to reclaim the power of prayer. We need to devote more time to prayer. We need to focus our prayers. So I feel the weight of that this morning. And I want you to do the same, not because I want you to suffer or anything like that, but I just want you to think about your prayer life, and what it is you're praying and who you're praying to and all those things. So I want to walk through. Again, we solidify statements by giving affirmations and denials. In other words, we say we believe and we reject. Prayer is, prayer is not. So that's going to kind of be the formula for today. Let's name some things that prayer is not from Scripture. Prayer is not telling God how good you are. Now, notice how good you are. Obviously, we want to thank God for what He has done and what God has worked together and how He's good and loving and kind. Yes, all of those things. But we don't come before the Lord to confess to Him how good we've been. Hard start, but a truth nonetheless. In the book of Luke, in chapter 18, 9 through 14, we can understand this. God knows our heart. He looks on the heart. You have a tax collector who looks out and sees, you have a Pharisee who looks out and sees a tax collector in the streets, maybe sitting in and looking out through the door. And as he gazes upon this tax collector, here is what he says. A parable from Christ. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed this way. I want you to hear me, New Home. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. I've gone out of my way to do things. Yet there's a tax collector out there that is an undesirable, standing far off. Says this, he would not even lift up his eyes to heaven. But he beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humble, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. In this short parable, we learn how we should approach the throne of God. Too often we're given an account of our Christian accomplishments of the week. We're not to pile up words for the sake of being long in prayer. We have no more power because we have lengthy dialogues or monologues. Certainly pray until the Lord frees you from that, but to be caught in a cycle of repetitiveness or filling voids with words, it's not necessary. In Matthew 6, which we just read together, when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Be pointed. It's not permitting God to move. Several years ago, I was gifted a book. When I say gifted, I paid a tuition to a conference, and so they had books that they gave you when you came in. One was by a man named E.M. Bounds, considered by a lot to be an authority on prayer. Within the pages of his book, he has a general idea that seems to come up often, somewhere along the lines of a statement like this: God does nothing except in answer to prayer. I would argue that that's not in Scripture. He's not waiting on you to say, God, I allow you. God, I permit you to do anything. He's not writhing his hands going, I certainly would if only they would let me. Could you imagine the burden of responsibility that one would have if until you prayed the correct prayer, God was bound to not act? I'm not saying in every situation this is what you're doing, but it's been put out there that God is anxiously waiting on you to pray so that He can answer your prayers and move according to what you ask Him to do. And I don't find that anywhere in Scripture. We do have, when you ask amiss. But James clarifies that by saying, because you're asking for things to spend on your own desires. Psalm 115, 1 through 3, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to Your name give glory. For the sake of Your steadfast love and Your faithfulness, why should the nations say, where is their God? This is Israel crying out. Why should they say, where is our God? Listen, I'll tell you where He is. He's in the heavens and He does all that He pleases. He's in control. When He's not answering our prayers according to our whims, it's because God knows the end from the beginning. He's given us a gift of the Holy Spirit that intercedes for us. When we don't know how to pray, He's praying for us, like God is working it all together for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purposes. Even the things that are hard in our life and difficult in our life, they're a gift of God because He knows what we need. From Job 38 to Job 40, verse 2, is God telling Job who He is. And reminding Job that God created all things, that God spoke stuff into existence, all things into existence, that God raised the mountains to a height, that God set bars on the oceans, that God feeds the wilderness, the animals of the wild, that God puts a bit in the mouth of the oxen and turns his head as he wishes. He controls Leviathan and those other creatures. We're not exactly sure what they are, but God says, I have authority over all of these things. And I move according to my will. And they move according to my will. God is not waiting on you to permit Him to do what He has declared to do. Prayer is not an incantation. And this runs in so many different veins. Jesus' name is not a pre-approval to your prayers. Anything that you ask in my name, it will be done for you. We're taking that to say we close every prayer within Jesus' name as if it's a stamp of this will get passed through because we put a tagline on it. I see some solemn looks, and I understand because I had some when I was studying it as well going, I'm not telling you don't say in Jesus' name. I'm saying it's not a magic trinket. We don't hold idols in our hands as we pray so that God pays more attention. Plenty of trends and things such as that may serve in a negative way, in thinking that we have this God who does our will. Just as long as we put this magic tagline on the end. It's not declaring. Demanding. God is not seeking your counsel as far as trying to make a decision based upon your input. Psalm 33. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. And by the breath of his mouth, all their hosts. He gathers the waters of the sea as a heap. He puts the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of His heart to all generations. Blessed is the nations whose God is the Lord, the people in whom He has chosen as His heritage. Where were you when He set the foundations of the earth, when He spoke the heavens into existence? Let me just tell you, you weren't here yet. He didn't need you to tell Him how to do it, what was right for it and what was wrong for it. He's in control. He sits in the seat. He declares every moment. He's in absolute control. His government has no end, and He lacks no wisdom. Isaiah 46, remember this and stand firm. Recall it to mind, you transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will accomplish all of my purposes. You say, Matt, what about when Moses prayed and God relented from His anger? Go and read what Moses prayed. Far be it from you to lead your people out into the wilderness to destroy us, so that the other nations will say that their God is no God at all. So then the Lord relented from His wrath and did not do what He had said. That relented is Moses communicating that it didn't happen. God had declared His faithfulness from before the time that Moses was even born. He had made a promise to Abraham. Even before that, God had decreed what was going to happen. It wasn't Moses' prayer. It was God's faithfulness to His own covenant that saved Israel from destruction. Get prayer right. We need to reclaim what prayer is. So we're going to look at that now. What is prayer? Listen, I didn't exhaust all the things that prayer is not. I can't exhaust all the things that prayer is. Just giving you some to consider. Perhaps we'll do a whole study on prayer and discipleship training. What is prayer? What is prayer then, Pastor, if it's not declaring, if it's not commanding, if it's not permitting, if it's not telling God of all your accomplishments, if it's not a means to get what we desire, then what is it? Here's what it is. It's communing with God. It's God's gift of a divine ear turned toward you. It is a beautiful meeting with God. The time before Him in His presence. Psalm 3, for I cried to the Lord and He answered me from His holy hill. It is God hearing your prayers. I heard it said before that prayer is cyclical. God burdens your heart in a way that you bow before Him in prayer to make your petitions known. That's the next point, but make your petitions known to Him. As He moves, you are cooperating with Him and desiring His will. And as God unfolds that will before you, your faith is strengthened and you continue to pray because He answers prayer and He does answer prayers. Don't hear what I'm not saying. When we land this plane in a little bit, you'll hear it. Just how much He answers our prayers. Just how much He's working in us to will and to work according to His good pleasure. Philippians chapter 2, that, that God is working in us so that our desires are His desires, so that our will aligns with His will, so that we pursue His glory, so we declare His greatness, and so that we honor Him with the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart. God is at work in us doing all of these things. So the first thing prayer is communing with God. It's meeting with God. We can go all the way back to Genesis when God came in the cool of the day and called out to Adam, "Where are you?" We can see where God visited Cain and spoke to him about his brother's blood, praying, crying out from the ground. We can go to Genesis chapter 4 at the very end after Seth was born. It says, "And at this time people began to call upon the name of the Lord." We can see where Abraham prayed. We all through, in a moment, we'll look at some of those, that God gives an ear to His people. So prayer is certainly speaking into the ear of God so they can hear your desires and your needs. But we're not commanding that He do it. We're certainly able to go and ask Him as any child would ask his father, but the father makes a decision on what is best and acts accordingly. In church, listen, we should be thankful for that. Somber mourning. But it's okay. It has been for me all week. Prayer is petitioning. It's not proclaiming or declaring, it's petitioning. We come to God, we cry for help. Psalm 40, verse 13, "Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Draw me nearer. Teach me your ways. Give me instruction." We call for protection. Psalm 59:1, "Deliver me from my enemies, O God. Protect me from those who rise up against me." Why? Because He has the power to. We petition God, we ask Him, and we trust Him to answer accordingly and what's best. We ask for healing from suffering and sickness and for forgiveness. It's clear in James chapter 5, 13 through 18. "If anyone among you, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the power of faith will save the one who is sick. And the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, what will happen? He'll be forgiven. Therefore," we experienced it this morning, "confess your sins to one another, pray for one another, that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous person has great power as it is working." Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. And then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. Is that because God was serving Elijah? No, no. God was revealing Himself to and through Elijah. All of Elijah's life was the revealing of the power of God in the presence of all who heard Elijah and witnessed Elijah and experienced Elijah in presence. Prayer is pleading. Prayer is pleading. Why do we plead with God? We need saving. We need mercy. Psalm 51, the perfect example of prayer. Hear David's heart after he had had an affair with Bathsheba. After a season of pleasure produce great guilt. Listen to David's prayer. "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgression, and my sin is before me, ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mothers conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew an upright spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken and contrite spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. It's a plea for cleansing and restoration and renewal and rightness before God. We need God. We need His mercy. We need to be kept by Him. Psalm 27, 7 through 9. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. Some of the most powerful times that I've ever had in prayer is pleading with God, don't turn your face away. I'm a miserable wretch. It's all I can do to come in here and lay on my face and plead with God, don't turn me loose. Because I'm full of rebellion. At times, wicked desire. Even greater than my desire for God. And it's in those moments when we have the sweetest communion in prayer. Oh God, have mercy on me. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Wash me. Purge me, Lord. Take away those desires. Don't turn your face away. Crush my body, but don't take your face away. Destroy this flesh. Please, God, don't turn away. Because I need you every hour. I need you every moment. Prayer is pleading with God. Prayer is glorifying. It honors God. It glorifies Him when we declare our dependence upon Him. When we find Him as the very air we breathe. One of the books I read said, prayer is like breath. You can't live without it. First Chronicles. Save us, O God of our salvation, and gather and deliver us from among the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Then all the people said, Amen, and praised the Lord. Prayer is giving God glory. John Piper drew a picture of glorifying God in this way. He said, consider that you found a well that continually gave the purest of water, that had the ability to heal and to restore and to refresh. Would you give that well glory by never coming back to it? By putting a bucket over it and hiding it, not sharing it? Absolutely not. You would glorify that well by coming to it often and getting from it what it was giving. And not only that, but bringing others along. We glorify God by visiting Him in prayer often. Finally, prayer is submitting. It is seeking the Father's will. In our verses for the day in Matthew chapter 6, what does it say? Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Where? Prayer is submitting to the Father's will. Matthew 26, 36 through 42, you're probably familiar with where I'm at. This is the night of Jesus' arrest, just hours after the institution of the Lord's Supper and the Passover with the disciples, while Judas is away, gone to get those who are coming to arrest the Savior, put Him on a mock trial, condemn Him to death, hang Him on a cross, whip His body to where it's almost unrecognizable, rip His beard from His face, placing a crown of thorns on His head, all of these things, torturing Him. An innocent man. Listen to the night, the scene, and the prayer. Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, said to His disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with Him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, He began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then He said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with Me." And going a little farther, He fell on His face and prayed, sort of like that tax collector. "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as You will." He came to His disciples and found them sleeping, and He said to Peter, "So could you not watch with Me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, for the second time, He went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cup cannot pass unless I drink it, Your will be done." Jesus knew what had to be done. He's preparing for what lies ahead, establishing His confidence in the plan. "Father, if it can pass, let it pass. But if not, to Your name be glory." It couldn't pass. The wrath of God had to be satisfied. Christ satisfied it on your behalf. I really thought I'd be a whole lot more excited when I got to this last. I am excited, but I thought my voice would be different. Prayer is submitting to the will of the Father. And finally, prayer has power. Proper prayer has power. Pursuant prayer has power. submitted, prayer has power. Prayer has power. Abraham prayed and Abimelech was healed in Genesis 20, verse 17 from leprosy. Moses prayed and Israel was spared after they had made a golden calf. You find this in Exodus 32, 11 through 14. Samson prayed and his strength was restored. And in his strength being restored, he tore down the temple of Dagon. And he killed more people in his death than he ever did alive. And the glory of God was revealed. It's greater than any god that could ever be worshipped by anyone else. It is Samson's prayer. And his strength is restored. He cries out, "One more time, God, give me the power to glorify your name." Elijah prayed and fire fell from heaven in 1 Kings 18. It licked up the sacrifice and destroyed all the prophets of Baal in one day. Amos prayed and the house of Jacob was delivered from calamity. In Psalm 13, David moved from depressed to delivered in 6 verses as he cried out in anguish and God heard him and answered. And David says, "Now I rejoice that I am delivered." In Mark 9, a demon-possessed boy is delivered by the power of prayer as Jesus demonstrated prayer before all of his disciples who asked, "Why couldn't we cast it out?" Jesus said, "It's only cast out by the power of prayer." Prayer has power. In John 17, Jesus prays that the apostles and all who will believe by the testimony of their mouth would be saved to the glory of God. In Acts chapter 4, the disciples pray for confidence to proclaim the gospel. In chapter 5, they rejoice that they've been beaten half to death because they share the gospel with boldness and God counted them worthy to suffer. And then I'm going to say this, prayer has this power. Whatever day you called out unto the Lord, it changed your eternity. So don't hear me say prayer don't have power. Somebody's going to leave and say, "Matt said we shouldn't pray because God's going to do what God's going to do." You're a liar. We pray because God can do what He's going to do. And we believe Him to do it. And we want to see His will on earth as it is in heaven. Because His will is for us to thrive. And to have peace and joy and happiness and no sorrows. We pray over our loved ones because we don't want to see them go. But we rejoice in the fact that if they do, God answered our prayers according to His good purposes. And they receive something that we only long to have. Stop praying to keep them out of heaven. Start praying that God be glorified in the midst of it all. And that the preacher that does their funeral won't glorify them, but they'll glorify God that saved them. Lord, have mercy. Go to a funeral where somebody will share the gospel instead of tell you how good Paul was. And play some kind of song when I get where I'm going. I'm going to run behind a line and fly through the air and ride a drop of rain. Garbage. I'm going to see Jesus. We pray that way and things will start to happen. We can't think big enough. Because we misunderstand that sin and suffering, or suffering in light of sin, suffering in light of this world, moves us closer to knowing who God is. We don't pray that we get to suffer, but my goodness, when you're suffering, experience the Lord and what He's doing. Somebody in here can give witness to that. I didn't know Him like I know Him now. What happened? I like to die. That's what happened. Well, all right, we'll live that way from now on. 6 weeks later, they ain't got nothing else to say. Forgot real quick. Have you ever called upon the name of the Lord for salvation? If you hadn't, today's a day of salvation for you. Call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. Father, I thank You that You save folks. Thank You that You hear our prayers. I thank You that You answer them according to Your will. I thank You that I'm not in control and that You are, because Lord, I'd mess it up. But praise be to God, by everything that's resulted in all of eternity since You spoke this world into creation has been to glorify Your name and to teach me who You are, a God who saves and redeems His people to the praise of His glory. Would You do it today in our presence? Would You deliver somebody from something they're bound to? Would You bring reconciliation in families? God, would You bring Your will to be done here on earth just as it is in heaven? Knowing that we can't experience it fully because there's sin present in this place. But Lord, we can have every bit of it You'll give us. We pray to that end. Help us to pray to that end. Not for comfort and wealth and riches, but for your presence. For your will to be done. For our hearts to be aligned. And for your glory to be revealed. Because we've been given the name of Jesus, we pray in his name.